basically until now. Before that, just want to mention a few svarim. This Sefer Eshi, they came out with a new one, so you can look at the nice one. This one had a lot of use. This is, I don't know from which mita this is, but it's one of them. This is from Tufshin Mem Zayin. Okay, it's a while back. In any case, they came out with a new one, so if you can handle the Hebrew, then it's also in English. They have an English version too. This is pretty much what we hold, at least it brings down everything that we hold also. I think it's done by Rav Efrati, it's a good, but it's very concise. If you really want to understand the things, this Sefer is excellent. It just came out with a new edition. It's by my Mechutin Shleimi's father-in-law, and it's really comprehensive, and it's well written and explains everything, footnotes or whatever, and I get a commission of every book that's sold out. Benda and Lemaisa. It's very, very good Sefer. Gateway to Shemitah. Okay? More Lumdish, if you want to go. This is not the one. There's a bigger one like this. Same thing. Mishpatei Aretz, put out by Rav Efrati's. That's also, there's two editions of this. There's a short version, and then there's a longer version. I think this is a longer version. Okay. In any case.
Rabbi, okay. I asked a question before we get started with that. We have a certain economist of practice in the community. We have a list that Rabbi prepared 10 years ago and don't know what to do. We have Kiddushin, simple things in the community. So all these farms are very nice, but the 10% of the community in this year.
That's an overstatement.
So what will we do?
10% of the community?
What will we do with this? A bunch of cut vegetables at Kiddushin a month from now.
What do we do? You tell me what we do. I assume that many people know from past Shemitahs. The new people here are mostly Israelis who have been here. Right? They didn't grow up in Borough Park. They grew up here. And they know about Shemitah, and they know that there are different opinions or whatever. Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, they're not. And they know that they have relatives that are machmer like Bnei Brak, and we've told people it's pretty clear that we go lefi the horos of the Chazon Ish, which is the minig of Bnei Brak. So I imagine that's not going to be that much of a problem. Okay.
We serve cake.
Huh?
We can serve cake.
Cake is also maybe a problem with some of the ingredients that go into it. Okay. Somebody who said that once and lost their head. Okay, in any case. What we learned up until now is more or less how to deal with gardens and plants or whatever, and we didn't finish that 100%, but we learned enough that people have know what to ask. That's the main thing. I don't expect anybody, including myself, to be bekiyim in the halachas of Shemitah, but at least you should be educated enough from what we've learned to know what to ask. That there's questions to ask and when to ask and what to ask. What we haven't learned yet, and which is now going to be very soon, not very, very soon, but very soon applicable, is how to deal with peros and yerokos that have kedusha shvius. That includes how to eat them properly, how to dispose of them, and for the time being, beer is not to next, the end of next year, not the end of this coming year, right? And also how to buy them properly. And that's what we're going to, and what has kedusha shvius, and what is permissible to eat and what's not permissible to eat in completely. And we'll try to explain a little bit, I don't know, tonight, but one of the shiurim to come, the whole idea of heter mechira. and the difference between Minig B'nai Brak and Minig Yerushalayim that we definitely will go into. But I want to speak a little bit about the Heter Mechira also, so you're familiar with what it entails, why we don't hold of it, and how to deal with family members, friends, or whatever who do rely on it, what can you eat in their house, what you can't eat in their house, or whatever. Okay. I'm going to use this as the guide and add whatever has to be added or subtracted. Okay. Kedusha Shvius. What has Kedusha Shvius? Chol al gidulei ha'aretz ha'miyuchadim l'achilas adam or behema, anything that is for human consumption or animal consumption, even if people don't eat it, but it's animal food. L'sichas adam, also, if it's not used, it's not edible, but it's used for ointments, not medicinal ointments, but ointments shower kinds of oils or things like that, that are made from things that grow from the ground, for oils that are used for lighting candles, okay, that also has Kedusha Shvius, and therefore you can't use oil that has Kedusha Shvius to light your Shabbos candles. Well, Shabbos candles maybe, yes, but you can't use it for Hanukkah candles for sure. Litzvi Asadam, also anything that's used for dyeing, D-Y-E-I-N-G, and flowers with a scent, scented flowers, also have Kedusha Shvius. All those things have Kedusha Shvius. The basic thing is it has to grow from the ground, which excludes mushrooms. They don't have Kedusha Shvius. It also has to be something that hanaso ubiyuro shove, that when you enjoy it, you're also using it up at the same time. It's not like firewood. Firewood doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, because you only get the enjoyment after the wood is gone. It's not hanaso ubiyuro shove. It's not like something that you wear, and as you wear it, it wears out, right? Or when you smell it, you're using it up. Right, when you eat it, at the same time that you enjoy it, you're using it up. That's one condition. It has to be hanoso biuro shove, that the enjoyment comes at the time that you're using it up. And also, according to some, it has to be something that everybody enjoys equally, not only some people. And therefore, one of the things that would be excluded would be tobacco. Tobacco that grew in Eretz Israel, right? According to some, has Kedusha Shvius. According to others, it doesn't, because it definitely today is not something that shove lechol nefesh. Not everybody enjoys tobacco. Most people don't, and only specific people enjoy smoking or inhaling smoke or whatever. Ein kedusha shvius chol al gedulim shanosim achar biurim. Right, kedusha shvius does not take effect on things where you enjoy them after they are burned up. Kigon eitzim mishamshim lasaka, like we said, firewood. The enjoyment comes after the wood is burnt. Right? So on the burnt part, that's what you enjoy. So the heat comes from the burnt part of the wood, and therefore lefishadam nanamim achrish kolo eitzmin haolam ayidei hasreifa. Okay. Shail about a lulav. A lulav doesn't fit into any of these categories. So lechara lulav doesn't have kedusha shvius, and we'll see when next year, when buying an esrogin lulav. This year the esrogin were all going to be picked before Rosh Hashanah; they don't have kedusha shvius. Next year they all will have kedusha shvius, except for the ones that are brought in from chutz laretz, and there'll be a problem how you buy an esrog on with has kedusha shvius. And we'll see that one of the ideas that you have to do is to buy the lulav, and the esrog comes along for free. But a lulav that's used for a broom, not for a lulav, does have kedusha shvius, because you enjoy it at the same time that you're using it up. When you use the broom, so it's being used up, and the enjoyment comes at the same time. So it could be, if you have a lulav, people don't use lulav for brooms, but if you did, it could be it has kedusha shvius.
That means whether it has kedusha depends on the usage.
Right, depends on the usage. Okay, and therefore wood. If you're using the wood for fuel, then it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. But if you're using the wood for light, or for what's it called, or for cooking, then that wood would have Kedusha Shvius. Okay.
Or if you're using the wood for lumber.
Lumber? Yeah, but it's not, that it has to have some Hanos Haguf. Here is no Hanos Haguf.
Why is firewood not Hanos Haguf?
Because the warm. But the firewood, you only get the enjoyment after it's burnt. What? In other words, as it burns, that's where, but the part that you're, the flame is coming from is the burnt part. Okay. The, there's no Kedusha Shvius on flowers that don't have a scent. Just for the sake of looking at them, that doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. Okay. Afal pi shishnasa shmita hima Rosh Hashanah ad the Rosh Hashanah, even though shmita starts the minute that Rosh Hashanah comes in and ends the minute that Rosh Hashanah tafshin ayin vav will come in. Avo kedusha shviyis tochla aperos begidla oris lefisha shalabin begidulam kvishi yifurit lahalon. However, whether something has kedusha shviyis or not does not depend totally on when it grew. If it grew before Shemitah or during Shemitah, it depends on other considerations, which we'll get to. Hashlav hakoveya biyarakos, right, by vegetables. Okay, what determines whether they have Kedusha Shvius or not depends on when they are picked. So any vegetables that will be picked, we'll see that there are conditions to that. But in general, vegetables that will be picked after Rosh Hashanah, right, will have Kedusha Shvius. Vegetables that you'll have for Rosh Hashanah will not have Kedusha Shvius because they were picked obviously before Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Afa pisha rov gidulam haya b'shana shishis. Even though the vegetables grew mostly during the sixth year. Now, but if they're picked during Shemitah, then under most circumstances they're going to have Kedusha Shvius. So that is by vegetables. Bezesim anovim tvua kitnius, by olives, grapes, and other kinds of legumes and grains. Hashlav hakoveya shlisha gidl. There it depends when it grew one third of its growth. Right? If it grew already one third of its growth in the sixth year, then it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. Even if it was picked in the seventh year and it grew two thirds of its growth in the seventh year, doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. But if it grew one third of its growth, the initial third of its growth in the seventh year, then it, what's it called? Then it will have Kedusha Shvius. Okay. The choshi gil shlish gidula b'shvius afilu nizru b'shana shishis. Even if they were planted during the sixth year, but they grew the first third of their growth. And how you calculate the third of the growth, it's not your ASIC, because the Vade HaKashrus or whatever to deal with this will determine whether it grew a third of its growth in the Shemitah year and has Kedusha Shvius or doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. There's all different opinions how you consider it. A third of its volume, a third of the time that it takes to grow, a third of its size. Well, I guess it's the same as volume or whatever. In any case, or a third of its ripeness, when it ripens, how long it takes to ripen, a third of that time. It's all different opinions. But again, you're not going to have to make these calculations. You'll go to the store and they'll tell you if it has Kedusha Shvius or not. Okay. That is grains and legumes and olives and grapes. The peros ha'ilan, right, by fruit, other fruits of the tree, hashlava koveya huchanota. There, when it blossomed, that also is a difference of opinion, what exactly chanota is. Yesh omrim shechanota hi shlisha gidl. Some say that chanota means when it grew a third of its growth. Same thing as the other things. And some say, yesh omrim shenikra priachar nefil saperach. It's when you can see the first form of the fruit after the blossom falls off. So it's a very small, inedible fruit at that point, but already it's already more than just a blossom. So some say that is chanota, and some say it has to reach a third of its growth on regular fruit. So obviously no fruit, right, that is on the market After Rosh Hashanah, it's going to have Kedusha Shvius. It's going to only have Kedusha Shvius if it grew probably after Tu B'Shvat, right, next year, right, and grew a third of its growth during Shemitah, then it'll have Kedusha Shvius. Okay. Okay. Esrog, Shechonat B'Shishis, V'Nilkat B'Shvius, an Esrog that already had Chanata, it grew a third of its growth, or it were, the blossom fell off and it started to be formed as a small fruit during the sixth year, even if it was gathered during the seventh year, which is all Esrogim that will be by Sukkah, so for sure, like that, even though, what's it called, none of them will be gathered after Rosh Hashanah. So see, there's a problem with Esrogim, but Esrogim were all going to be gathered before Rosh Hashanah, so they surely have no Kedusha Shvius. The Das HaRambam Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvius Misafik. The Das Poskim Acherim Eino Kodesh. The Rambam holds that it could be that when you pick an Esrog, is determines when it's Shvius. So even if you have an Esrog that grew last year, which is all the Esrogim that are around now, but you pick them after Rosh Hashanah, it would have Kedusha Shvius. At least Misafik. That's the Rambam Shita. And all other Poskim hold that an Esrog is like all other things, and if it grew in the sixth year, even if it was picked in the seventh year, it doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. L'maisa yesh lochus Kedusha Shvius be'esrog shenuta v'chavei shoshana shal Shvius afa b'shechanotos o'ay b'shishis. V'mahadrim konim esrog sheniklut ne Rosh Hashanah she'en bo Kedusha Shvius achol adeos. And since it's a hiddur to buy an esrog that doesn't have any questions about it, whether it's Kedusha Shvius or not, otherwise you have to go to all of the considerations that next year we'll speak about. Therefore, all the people who sell Esrogim pick them before Rosh Hashanah, so they shouldn't have Esrogim that people don't want to buy. So all the Esrogim will be on the market, will have Kedusha Shvius. But since it's a Suffolk, anything that has Kedusha Shvius, you don't have to take off Trumas and Maestros from.
We'll
not have Kedusha Shvius, right? Anything that has Kedusha Shvius, you don't take off Trumas and Maestros. There's no Truma and Maestros, right? You can eat it without Trumas and Maestros. Something that doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, you have to take off Truma and Maestros. So an Esrog, if there's a doubt whether it has Kedusha Shvius or not, so you have to treat it as if it's Shvius, and yet you still have to take off Trumas and Maestros from it.
Okay. You have to eat it.
What?
If you want to eat it.
If you want to eat it, right.
Just supposed to take it on Sukkot, you don't.
Right. No, you can't take it on Sukkot either, unless you take off Trumas and Maestros, because you can't be Yotze with an Esrog you can't eat. You have to take off Trumas and Maestros for a regular Esrog also. Mm-hmm. If you don't plan on eating it, but you plan on using it for Sukkot, you have to take off Trumas and Maestros. Okay. Esrog Shechonat B'Shmita V'Nilkach B'Shminis Kodesh B'Tusha Shviyas. An Esrog that had Chanata during the seventh year and was gathered in the eighth year, in other words, next year's Esrogim, does have Kedusha Shvius, and therefore what's it called, next Sukkot, not this coming Sukkot, next Sukkot, all the Esrogim that grow in Eretz Yisrael will have Kedusha Shvius. Okay. Pri Hadar, Shechonat B'Shishis, Afil Nilkat B'Shvius, other kinds of citrus fruits that grew in the sixth year but were gathered in the seventh year, right, even though Esrogim, the Rambam holds, are a question, but other kinds of citrus fruits do not have the same halach as Esrogim, and they don't have Kedusha Shvius if they grew in the sixth year, even if they were picked in the seventh year. Right, but the opposite is also true. The grew during Shemitah but was picked during the eighth year does have Kedusha Shvius. There are opinions that what's it called, that the exception is lemons. Lemons are so much like Esrogim that they have the same din as an Esrog. And therefore lemons that grew in the sixth year and were harvested in the seventh year, Lechumra, could have Kedusha Shvius. So you have to take off Trumas and Maestros from it, and you have to treat it with Kedusha Shvius. Okay. There are those that hold that even lemons are not different than other citrus fruit, and are different than what's it called, than Esrogim, and they don't have any Kedusha Shvius if they grew in the sixth year and were picked in the seventh year. Okay. And again, this is not, unless you have a lemon tree in your backyard, it's not going to be nogeya to you. What has Kedusha Shvius or not will be determined by the hashgachas that we use, and there will be signs whether this has Kedusha Shvius or not. Could be that the things come from Chutz Laaretz, right, that they don't have Kedusha Shvius. Could be they come from parts of Eretz Israel where there's no Kedusha Shvius, like we'll see. So what has Kedusha Shvius or not will be determined by the Vadi HaKashras from the hashgachas that we use. Unless you have these trees in your backyard, then it's nogeya to you. Yeah.
To remind people about potatoes, because they are a vegetable seed, so they come with the sign of katifa, but you don't gather vegetables at the beginning of the year. Most of the potatoes you will be getting for the first big chunk of the year will be last year's crop.
Right, so right. They won't have Kedusha Shvius, right. Now again, the stores will have signs up, what yes and what not. Okay. Okay. Yesh Tatsovrim. Okay. In Yerushalayim, they follow the Beis Yosef. That has nothing to do with the Hashgacha of Beis Yosef or Svardim or whatever. The Shulchan Aruch says that produce that's grown in non-Jewish owned land in Eretz Israel, and that does not apply to every time an Arab grows something here. Because much of the land that the Arabs are growing don't belong to them. They are only like sharecroppers. But the land belongs to Jews. It's owned by the Medina or whatever, and they just happen to be using the land or working the land. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where the Goy owns that land. So the Shulchan Aruch holds that if a Goy owns the land and he plants in that land, the produce does not have Kedusha Shvius. And they rely on that in Yerushalayim, and therefore most of the vegetables in Yerushalayim, if not all of them, all of the badats of the Eidei Charedes only use vegetables that either are imported from Chutz Laaretz or grow in Arab-owned land, and they have a hashgacha to ascertain which fields are really owned by Arabs and which are only being worked by Arabs. And they only take from those fields that are owned by the Arabs or whoever other goyim who own the fields. But if you have Thailandis who are working on land that belongs to a Jew, that doesn't not absolve it from Kedusha Shvius, even according to Yerushalayim. So they only use vegetables and fruits that either come from Chutz Laaretz or are grown on non-Jewish land and don't have Kedusha Shvius. So in Yerushalayim, people, for the most part, don't know about how to deal with things with Kedusha Shvius. Because the only thing they buy that has Kedusha Shvius is an esrog. That, everybody, next year, not this year, next year. But otherwise, everything that they use has no Kedusha Shvius, there's no special way of buying it, there's no special way of using it, there's no special way of disposing with it, and that's it. The Chazon Ish, and this is not the machlokas that happened, you know, yesterday or whatever. This is, goes back hundreds of years. The question is, who do we hold like? The Chazon Ish paskins like the opinion that things grown in non-Jewish land in Eretz Israel do have Kedusha Shvius. They do have Kedusha Shvius. And therefore, we will be getting vegetables, and we'll see in one second why we have to get it from Arab owned land, because most of the vegetables will be svichim, otherwise will be usher to eat, according to everybody. So the only ones that will be permitted will be ones that grew in Goyish land, but they do have Kedusha Shvius. They're not svichim, but the svichim, we didn't get to it yet, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, fine, but they're not svichim, but they have Kedusha Shvius. That's how we hold, and therefore all the vegetables that come from Arab-owned land are permissible to eat, but they have Kedusha Shvius. And you have to buy them a special way, which we're going to get to, and use them a special way, and dispose of them a special way.
Does that mean the farm, I often, when I'm in Yerushalayim, I buy stuff in Machane Yehuda, I can't do that anymore?
We'll see. Or somebody asked me, they're going to a hotel, where they are no egg kosher, the Mahadrin, but they're no egg like Minyag Yerushalayim, and they get their vegetables from Goyim, and they have Kedusha Shvias, and they're not careful with them because they throw them away or whatever. Mm-hmm. So basically, your problem is more different because you have to buy them.
Right.
Okay, that we'll get to. But here you're not buying anything, you're paying and you're getting fed by the hotel. So you can just not throw away that produce, right? You shouldn't clean off your plate and throw it away. Leave it on the table, and the workers will come who hold that it's okay to dispose of it, and they'll dispose of it. You're not disposing of it, they are. Mm-hmm. You're just leaving it there. So in that situation, you'd be allowed. You're allowed to eat the produce, just can't waste it, destroy it, or whatever. You're not doing that, and the people who are doing it hold that it's mutter. So that's okay. Okay.
And that would apply not only to things that look like peiros, or your vegetables, but anything, because it could be used as an ingredient.
Right. And in other words, not just the vegetables themselves, but anything that the vegetable soup gets Kedusha Shvias if you put vegetables in it that have Kedusha Shvias. So the soup also can't be thrown away, not just the vegetables. Okay, but we'll get to all that. Ein Shvias no Heges min HaTorah ela b'Eretz Yisrael. Next thing. So that is a major machlokas, whether Peros Yevul Nochri, that's what it's called. Yevul Nochri. Yevul Nochri means Goyisha produce. Things that grew in Goyisha land. Not lands, but Eretz Yisrael, lands owned by Goyim. That's the major machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Edei Charedes. Not everybody in Yerushalayim is not machmir like we are, right? And outside of Yerushalayim, there are people who families came from Yerushalayim and are makel like Yerushalayim, even though they live other places. But the minig, for the most part, in Bnei Brak is like the Chazon Ish, and the minig in Yerushalayim, for the most part, is not like the Chazon Ish. In Yerushalayim, they don't treat Yevul Nachri with Kedusha Shvias, and other places, it depends on the minig of that place. The minig, our minig, is to follow the Chazon Ish, and the minig here is to treat Yevul Nachri with Kedusha Shvias, and it's a minig hamakom, and anybody who lives here has to comply with that, even if you're not here. In other words, even if you go someplace and you plan to come back to Matat Yahu, you have to treat vegetables or fruit that grew in Goyisha land with Kedusha Shvias. Okay. Kol Dinei Shvias Noagim B'chol Eretz Yisrael. Right? The laws of Shemitah apply all over Eretz Yisrael. Omam Yesh Mekomos B'tchumei Eretz Yisrael Shol Nichbishu B'zman Bayesheni. However, it has to be a place that was conquered in the time of Bayesheni when they came back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Mishum kein yesh lahakel bekama dina shvias. The yesh mekomo shepturim patrum chachom mikiyum mitzvah shvias, afa bishenich b'shu b'zman bayesheni, kdei sheyuchlu aniyim l'shkayim shom. Since shvias is the rabbinic today, so the rabbis exempted certain places from the laws of shvias in order that poor people should have what to eat. And however, b'yomeinu e'efshel l'zayus mekomo seilu. We lost the ability to identify those places. We know what they're called, and we know that there are places called on that. For instance, Beit Sha'an. Beit Sha'an is a place where the Gemara says the laws of Shemitah don't apply. The vegetables grown there do not have Kedusha Shvias, and you're allowed to use the vegetables of Beit Sha'an, right? What's it called? Without Kedusha Shvias. However, what's it called? We don't know where Beit Sha'an was in the time of the Gemara. We know where it is today. And it's probably near some place near where it was then. But the place that we call Beit Sha'an today is not necessarily the same geographic place as Beit Sha'an then. And therefore, those halachas are irrelevant today. Lachen kol dinei shvias kol gzeres racham shel isser svichim noagim b'chol Eretz Yisrael. Wherever is considered Eretz Yisrael, right, the laws of Shemitah apply. The Eivar HaYarden, Nohege Shvias, on the other side of the Yarden, in other words, in Jordan, trans-Jordan, right? Shvius applies. If you happen to be going to Jordan or whatever, you should know the laws of Shvius. Elish Yelo Gaz Risham Al Isra Shvichin. The only thing that doesn't apply over there is the Isra of Shvichin, but the laws of Shemitah apply there. Could be rabbinically, even in a time when the rest of Shemitah was Minatorah, could be Minatorah. Okay. B'stei Yehudi B'Suria. If you're planning to go to Syria, okay. No Hegesh Shvius Midrabanan. The laws of Shvius apply there rabbinically. Because the rabbis were afraid that people would leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Syria, which is very close, and to avoid Shemitah problems. Today, nobody's going to Syria to avoid Shemitah problems. You have other problems. But things that would be brought in from Syria, there's no Isra of Shvichim, which we haven't yet discussed. That's probably what we'll discuss next time. However, there, even the Chazon Ish holds that if you have non-Jewish produce that comes from Syria, there's no Kedusha Shvius. But if a Jew happens to own a field in Syria and grows things there, then there's a din of Shvius on it, midrabanan. Okay, all of this is irrelevant because nobody is importing anything from Syria except missiles and bombs. Okay. I think that that's enough to digest for this time. Again, I don't expect that you know these halachas inside out, but at least you know what there is to take in consideration to ask the shaila about. And I strongly suggest, okay, that you get a copy of not this book, but this one, the Chadash Maduras Tavshinayin. Well, so let you know there's a new thing. And there is an English version of this, English Hebrew version. If you can't handle the Hebrew, it's in English also. And again, I strongly say, if you really want to understand these halachas, and he doesn't paskin, right? He tells you there are different opinions or whatever. You have to ask a shaila what opinion we follow. And in this, it's almost like Avelis, where there's so many different opinions and different customs or whatever. But he really did a good job. So this book is available.
Huh? Maybe we can get a bunch of them and get a better price.
I can speak to the author and see if he can get us a special price.
The other one. Not even a special price. Yeah. Just
where?
Save everybody.
Okay.
Running around.
Good idea. I will look into it tomorrow. We'll put up a sign if people are interested in getting any of them, and so now we know how many to get. And okay, Belina, put up a sign tomorrow. And there's a lot of the people here suggest that maybe I'll mention the Shabbos. I think better I'll mention the Shabbos and show people the Svarim, and then we'll put up a sign after Shabbos and try to get copies of them so people can get them. Okay.
But the Rebbe mentioned earlier about the people, newer people, the familiar, those that came in the past 7 years, 6 years, familiar with everything. May not be familiar, this is something that falls in the category of Minhag HaMakom.
We will try to get that message across over the next few weeks of what Minhag HaMakom is. To get the message across, all the details, that people will have to ask Shailas. I can't force people to come to Shiurim, nor am I going to write up my own Sefer, which is absurd when there's so many others for him here, right, just to tell people what we're supposed to do over here. But if people are aware that this is the Minhag HaMakom, like the Chazon Ish, then you should know you have to ask shailas based on that Minhag HaMakom. That message we will get across.
Well, the point that Ellie mentioned at the outset of the share, one of two possibilities, maybe. Either just not allow vegetables in the communal kiddush or something.
That is admitting defeat.
Okay.
That we won't do.
Or even without going into any details, but just on the sheet, distributed in mailboxes to say that we follow the.
Right.
The Chazon Ish, we do.
There are some very famous people in this community that arrange these kiddushin. Some of them even come to this shir. And when they solicit, but it's not just vegetables, because things are made with ingredients, right? So people should be aware that you, in a way, nice way to tell them that you're aware that we follow the Chazon Ish, and the things that you are using should conform to that. If they say, who's the Chazon Ish, and conform to what, then tell them to call me.
Scenario with the hotel. You're closer to eat it, just if you're not cleaning it up. Like, why is it different?
Why is it different? Because we'll see there are certain things that will be usher to eat altogether. Right? This place has a good hashgacha or one thing, right? But we may have people here who are somech and heter mechira. I don't know. Right? And for us, it's usher to eat some of those things, which we'll get to. It also, it may be, what's it called, that since the minig hamakom here, no one is allowed to waste those things. We don't have waiters that come, you know, and clean up.
People who cut them up and brought them aren't cleaning them up. That's
not. No, they're not cleaning them up. The leftovers by the kiddush, right? The leftovers by the kiddush. Who's going to do that? The people who clean up afterwards have to follow minig hamakom.
It has kedusha, but why does it matter if the person who cut it up doesn't hold it has kedusha?
Ah. I mean, what's it called? So it'll have Kedusha Shvi'is.
It's all in the same stores. It's all modern produce. The status, how we hold.
Now, it's what the person does in their house, even if it's something wrong.
What does
that
have to do with the
kids?
What could be the problem?
It's
about
to call up.
What?
So, you have vegetables left on the thing, people wrap it up to, you know, throw it away.
You can't assume that everybody goes shopping for a
kiddush. People for a kiddush, I think, know that much.
That I don't know.
So then it has nothing to do with Shmita, that we shouldn't have people from the community baking for kiddushes all year. Like, what? We're trusting people to buy mahadran things for a kiddush.
If you're in Yerushalayim and you buy Shmita stuff, if we're saying that it's got kedusha, then that tells us we have to buy it in a certain way.
Yeah, that again is the individual. It doesn't affect other people eating it. What could be the problem?
If it's somebody who's chal on them to buy it in that way and they don't do it, am I still allowed to eat that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if it was bought in the wrong way, they did something wrong, and there could be repercussions of the money, but there's no repercussions of eating the thing itself. Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear. I have to think of, see if there's anything that could be, you know, but again, even if people buy things they don't think have Kedusha Shvias, but we treat it with Kedusha Shvias, so what could be wrong? I'm not sure. I have to think about it.
Okay. It still could be a problem in general at a kiddush.
Yeah.
Even if something is done properly, you have stuff that things are of kedusha shvias.
Right.
Maybe people clean up, they take off the buildings.
Wrap up the plastic.